Like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting in the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zinikas? Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Gary?
Here.
Mr. Mead?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Here, I guess, to your right, guys. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Move to Section B, Approval of Meeting Agenda.
Mr. President, I move that the meeting agenda for the regular meeting of the Madison Plains Local School Board, School District Board of Education for Tuesday, August 13th, 2024 be approved as presented.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Move to Section C, Student Recognition.
Mr. President, we do not have any student recognition this evening. Looking to begin student recognition again in September once students are back in school.
Okay. Section D, Employee Recognition.
Just want to give a shout out to Mr. Garrett and all of the maintenance and custodial staff for all the hard work over the summer. We have clean buildings and we have a lot of improvements that we're going to hear about here in just a little bit. But want to give a shout out to them for everything that they've done.
Thank you. Move to Section E, the First Public Communication section. Don't believe we have anyone signed up for that. So we'll go to Section F, Board Work Session. Does anyone have anything they'd like to discuss? All right. So we'll move to Section G, Approval of Board Minutes.
Mr. President, I move that the minutes of the regular meeting on July 16th, 2024, and the two special meetings on July 22nd, 2024, and July 9th, 2024 be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Move to Section H, Department Reports.
Mr. Mason, I would like to invite Mr. Brian Garrett to the podium this evening. He is going to give us a brief overview of the work that was done this summer and the projects that have been completed. And I would like to thank Mr. Garrett for taking the time to be here this evening to present for us. We certainly do appreciate it. I also want to thank Mr. Garrett for his leadership and his dedication and passion for our district. He does a tremendous job as our facilities supervisor, facilities maintenance grounds and custodial staff supervisor. And I just want to thank him for everything he does in that role too, but certainly want to thank him for being here this evening and presenting for us. Mr. Garrett, the floor is yours.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. There's a lot of pictures. I know everybody likes pictures and probably less hearing me talk, so there's more pictures in the slideshow. I will be posting everything on our school website under the maintenance page, so if anybody that's online wants to go in and look, more than welcome to. A couple projects that I wanted to start with, one of our bigger projects. What have we done on our grounds, on our ground side? I wouldn't say the biggest project, but one of the most noticeable projects that we did with removal of the old academy, which is the trailer outside the intermediate that kind of sits in front of the high school football field. We had the trailer stripped of any usable materials. We took out doorknobs, lights, anything that was usable to the district that still had life in it, we stripped out of that trailer. We had the trailer removed. We salvaged anything that was metal, the steel beams in the bottom of the trailer. We salvaged them out and took them to scrap. We had the utilities disconnected from the trailer as far as the electric and the plumbing and the water, or the sewer and the water. We had the old fencing removed. Now, obviously there wasn't any fencing where the trailer sat at, but we had some old fencing on either side of the trailer. And so we were looking at, you know, having to replace the fencing there where the trailer sat at. We decided that, you know, instead of having a nice patch of 40 foot of nice fence, we would go ahead and replace the fence from one side of the field house all the way down to the corner post. So that's on its way. We're waiting for the gates to get manufactured. Webb's fencing is going to be doing that for us. So I had topsoil brought in and graded out the existing gravel spot where the trailer sat at. And just today we grass seeded and laid down the seed blankets. So that's the before image there. And there's the after image from today. So one of the other projects, I don't know if it's as noticeable on the inside as it is the outside. We had the field house backside, well, starting with the inside, we had the damaged exterior block replaced on the outside. We removed the bat insulation on the inside of the field house and replaced that with the spray foam insulation. We had the lintel above the back door of the weight room replaced. We had all the block on the left side, or the right side of the field house, excuse me, tuck pointed, and the grout re-tuck pointed. The back of the field house was repainted, and the doors and the railings on the outside of the field house leading up to the field house was painted. So that's a picture of the back side of the field house. That was, I think, this past winter. And that's a picture of now. Other projects we had completed on the K-6 side of campus. We had the intermediate gym refoamed on the entire gym. We had the intermediate intermediate roof hash replaced on the intermediate building. We had we replaced the rotted floor braces on the back side of the K-3, which was at approachment to the back of the K-3 building from the outside of the playground. Just due to the nature of the fact that they are modulars and it's just, you know, wood and plywood the past 12 or so years, you know, the weather being outside has kind of rotted it. So we had a soft spot in that back floor that, you know, if we didn't replace it, somebody was bound to go through it. So we had to replace all that. We repaired one of the original existing pieces of the playground equipment out on the playground. We had the courtyard door replaced. We replaced two of the exterior gym doors from the outside into the gym. Those started to get a little bit more use as of late due to the gym being used as a election area during the election season. and we had the stucco power washed on the intermediate. So here's some pictures, not all pictures, but here's some of the pictures of some of that. The boys and girls locker rooms down at the high school, we're on the 712 side now. We had the new LED lighting installed in both locker rooms. We had the exterior doors from the outside into the locker rooms replaced. We added access fobs to both doors to allow for staff like phys ed to come in and out from the outside without having to go through the front of the building. We had the interior masonry block repaired on the girls' side. We had a crack on the back wall. We had that repaired. We had all the sink and toilet fixtures replaced in both restrooms. We had created a space, coach's office for the volleyball coaches. We had the athletic trainer's room relocated to the office inside the girls' locker room. And we had a coach's office, a men's coach's office within the boys' locker room created for the male coaches. So that's a picture of the locker rooms now, both boys and girls. Other 712 projects we did, we had the parking lots resealed up at the 712 and restriped. We had the walk-in refrigerator in the kitchen repainted. We had air conditioning added to the kitchen serving line and above around the ovens. We had the roof hatch replaced on the high school roof as well. We had the back hallways along with several classrooms repainted. We had the sidewalk leading up from the bridge to the high school power washed. We had the footpath along the athletic stadium resealed. We replaced the light pole in the old tennis court parking lot, band parking lot, replaced, and new LED lights added. We had the carpets, or will be having the carpet steam cleaned this week in the front and back of the high school along with the high school office. We had transportation break room created within the bus garage, and we remodeled the transportation supervisor's office at the bus garage as well. Some pictures there from projects I just mentioned. Gym floor restoration. We had the gym floors sanded and repainted. We had storage areas off the gym repurposed to specific sports. We had the gym floor, we purchased gym floor covering for non-athletic events to protect the gym floor now that we're having it sanded. We had the gym doors replaced on both sides of the gym. We had the mezzanine floor repaired up on the mezzanine mason area. We had a crack along the floor up there. We had that repaired. And we had the mezzanine painted and LED lights added this past year. So there's the before shot of the high school gym. That's during. That's after. Finally, I want to say thank you, take a moment to express my gratitude to the custodial and grounds and maintenance team. Terry Curry, Jerry Lewis, Herbie Bowser, Parrish Bonnet, Darian Pollard, and Russ Regal and Mason Cook. Every summer, this dedicated group is responsible for maintaining, disinfecting, cleaning, and waxing approximately 171,000 square feet of floors in our facility in preparation for the new school year. In addition, they manage and mowing and trimming and spraying of around 55 acres with on our property, as well as painting and preparing athletic fields. So I wanted to say a big thank you to those guys. I mean, a lot of this stuff couldn't be done without those guys. I also wanted to extend a special thanks to our summer help, Mason Mustang, Matt Adamzak, Johnny Kreitz, and Joey Dudgeon. Your hard work has not gone unnoticed, and we deeply appreciate your contributions in getting everything ready for the upcoming school year. And finally, I wanted to thank and recognize Pete Sullivan, who retired in May, Herbie Bowser, who will be retiring here at the end of August. I wanted to thank both of you guys for your service here at Madison Plains, and I wanted to wish you guys the best in your retirement. And in the same breath, I wanted to send a warm welcome to Scott McGee and Ian Toller. Scott will be joining us in the 912 building, and Ian will be joining us in the 7 and 8, and we're excited to have them aboard. And I guess a special thanks. I added this at the end, there's no slide for it, but I wanted to thank all of our vendors that we used this summer. A lot, if not most, are all local. A lot of these guys, you know, when something goes wrong, if it's something out of, you know, our grasp to handle, typically we have a good enough relationship where we call them and they're usually right out here. Marshall Electric, WOW Power Washing, Clearview Mechanical, Kevin Spiegel, CNS Heating and Cooling, Prodigy Solutions, and Farish Carpet are just some of the vendors that we used this past summer. I also want to send a special shout out to Rob Harmon. He donated just today a seat blanket. I was given his number and said that he deals in it, and I gave him a call to purchase some seat blanket, and he had donated a roll of seat blanket to the district. So I wanted to send a thank you to him specifically for that donation today. So that's all I got.
Mr. Garrett, just want to say thank you very much again for your report and your hard work. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks.
All right, so now move to Section I, Superintendent Committee Reports.
Mr. President, there are no committee reports this evening.
Section J, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. I just have two items here for discussion and one item for approval. The first item there is the monthly financial report. Just briefly touch on those. With the monthly report, so this is through July of this year. We have a $1.8 million favorable to the forecast for revenue collections, $339,000 unfavorable to our forecast, leading to a potential net impact of $1.64 million to our ending cash balance compared to our initial forecast, or our revised May forecast is what we're still operating under. That being said, we look to and have an operating surplus right now, as things stand, of $2.346 million at the end of the year, and end with an estimated cash balance of $10.236 million. So that's where we stand financially. So we are ahead of estimates, which is always better than behind estimates. So, other thing that I have If anybody doesn't have any questions on the financial report, which is pretty standard, we did receive, the first time I've received this, a letter of commendation from Representative Brian Stewart from the State of Ohio House of Representatives. It's included here, but I also just kind of wanted to present it too, because it is a substantial little document here. And I'll just read from it here. We actually got two. I'll read them both. It says, on behalf of the members of the House of Representatives of the 135th General Assembly of Ohio, we are pleased to congratulate the Madison Plains Local School District on receiving an Auditor of State Award from Auditor of State Keith Faber. It is not surprising that the Madison Plains Local School District has been presented with this special honor in recognition of its timely, accurate, and comprehensive financial statements, and it is truly worthy of acknowledgement. Receiving this prestigious distinction is a justifiable source of pride and an outstanding reflection not only on the institution itself, but also on its hardworking employees and staff and on the entire community. The Madison Plains Local School District has certainly proven itself to be fiscally responsible, and through its unfaltering commitment to excellence, it has earned the genuine respect and appreciation of many. We are proud to note that it is through the diligent, committed efforts of exceptional public entities such as this that the state of Ohio continues to prosper and remains a fine place in which to live and work. Thus, with great pleasure, we commend the Madison Plains Local School District on its recent accolade and extend best wishes for ongoing success. And then we actually received a second addendum to that from Representative Brian Stewart. And it says a little differently, the Madison Plains Local School District is indeed deserving of acknowledgement, for it has received a clean financial audit report from the state, and we are certain that this noteworthy educational institution will continue to advance its standard of excellence for many years to come. Without a doubt, this fine school district has set an example of best practices and will serve as a model for other districts across Ohio. The Madison Plains Local School District has become known for its superior fiscal accountability, and all those responsible for it receiving this esteemed award can reflect with pride and satisfaction on their strong tradition, upon which they can build an even more productive and rewarding future. Their tremendous efforts have certainly had a beneficial impact on this quality scholastic community. So, pretty pleased to receive that for me and my office, as well as for the entire district. I say it all the time, but it's a group effort. Many individuals come together to produce that clean financial audit that we receive. And that is all I have for my report.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the treasurer, the board approve item J4.
Second.
Discussion. I just want to say thanks. Appreciate you taking the time. We appreciate all the hard work that goes into that. I know I speak for the rest of the board. We're proud of that accomplishment. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Move to Section K, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate it. A few items for discussion this evening. The first of which is I just want to mention that the Madison Plains Local School District will be on the ballot on Tuesday, November 5th. And just want to give some information related to that. The purpose of the ballot issue is to ask of our community if they would be willing to fund a new K-8 building on the campus of the Madison Plains Local School District. The total project cost is $56,599,478. The OFCC is contributing 15% of the co-funded amount, which equates to $6,724,182. The district is committed to contributing $11 million should it pass. The bond amount is $38,875,296. The USDA still has allowed us to work to utilize its offer of financing at 3.625%. And our original millage on this, when we first started this, most recent initiative to build new buildings, our original millage was 9.9 mils. With the USDA financing on our second attempt, we brought it down to 8.6. The district contributed amount, brought it down then to 7.5 mils. And then due to the property tax reevaluation, the millage request went to 5.4 mils on the third attempt. Due to changes in the scope of the project, the district has made an additional contribution from the board and an additional contribution from the state, going from the 9% participation from the OFCC to 15%. The current millage is now at 4.3 mils, and that equates to $151 for each $100,000 of the county auditor's appraised value. So that is just some basic information about the bond issue. Again, it is on the ballot on Tuesday, November 5th. That kind of takes care of that. So, a couple of other discussion items. We receive some disadvantaged people impact aid and some funds as well for student wellness and success. And part of what we are required to do as a result of the fact that we receive these funds from the government is to provide a little bit of information about them. We have a plan for these funds, and so we have to share the plan and just make it available at a public board or at a public meeting, such as a board meeting. And so I just want to share a little bit of information about this with the board. We received, in terms of the Disadvantaged People Impact Aid, we received $144,873.18. That amount was budgeted into the budget last year. We also received, student wellness and success funds, we received $121,662.06, and that amount was also budgeted into the budget. These funds then were spent, we spent for K-6 counseling and mental health services, which is part of the wellness and success fund budgeting, we spent $89,786.30. Along the same lines for the student wellness and success, we spent for school nursing services $64,960. And then in terms of the disadvantaged people impact aid, we spent on a school navigator case manager, which is a person who helps to connect our students and our families with resources and provides a little bit of counseling as well. We spent $77,019. And then on dropout prevention, we spent $85,445.70. So just wanted to make the board aware of that. And so that is the plan there. And those are the highlights. So in terms of my next discussion item then, the state of Ohio is requiring school districts in the state to update their cell phone policies. We are doing that here this year in our district, as are the other county schools. And so I have asked Madison Plains Junior High and High School Assistant Principal, Mrs. April Sparks, to come and speak for just a few minutes and just give a couple of quick highlights about this change. So Mrs. Sparks, the floor is yours, and I want to thank you as well for being here this evening.
Sure. Yeah, so Ohio law now requires all schools to adopt a policy governing the use of cell phones by students during the school hours, and that has to be completed by July 1st of 2025. The Department of Education and Workforce, under the leadership of Governor Mike DeWine, is encouraging all districts in the state to implement local policies that eliminate phone use during the school day in an effort to increase safety, security, and academic growth. In the United States, 95% of teens ages 13 to 17 have access to smartphones. Students on average receive 192 alerts per day on their phones. These alerts, as you can imagine, are designed to catch the attention of the students, which is just disruptive to both student learning and relationships. Research shows that student use of cell phones in schools has negative effects on student performance and mental health. Cell phones distract students from classroom instruction, resulting in smaller learning gains and lower test scores. Studies have also shown that increased cell phone use leads to higher levels of depression, anxiety, and other mental health disorders in children. Many Ohio schools have implemented policies this past year, eliminating the student use of cell phones during school hours. Schools that have successfully implemented these policies report that students are talking more, engaging more, interacting, laughing, and enjoying themselves. Research also demonstrates that these policies have reduced the frequency of bullying, especially among students ages 13 to 16, and have had positive and significant impacts on standardized test scores and grade point averages of girls. So countywide, 3 out of the 4 schools are implementing this new cell phone policy this academic school year. Madison Plains is implementing that. So our policy will state that students are prohibited from using cell phones during the school day from 7:45 a.m. to 2:50 p.m. Cell phones should be turned off and stored in student lockers. So more details regarding the policy can be found in the student parent handbook, which is found on the MPLSD website. We hope that with eliminating the cell phone, students are able to be more present in the classroom and focus more on their education. So all of that information can be found on the Department of Education and Workforce website. There are also tabs there for families, as well as addressing emergency situations, because I know that would be a big question coming up.
Are there any questions?
I guess I've got a question. I mean, as far as disciplinary actions, do we have anything in place right now? You know, because there's going to be obviously kids trying to slip it past.
Yes, so that is also outlined in the handbook as well. There's going to be growing pains at first. We have attended principals meetings with Madison, Champaign, ESC, local principals. Some started this at the end of last year, maybe second semester. They say that, the first month or so is pretty rough with discipline, but students picked it up and they enjoyed it. But yes, in our handbook, we do have an outline of, your first time is a warning, the second time it goes to the office, third time we ask that the parent picks it up, and then after that, consequences will start to occur.
By the way, I love the idea.
In addition to what you're doing here, how else are we promoting this, like getting the word out to the community?
Great. So we, the 712 building put out a newsletter, and it was included in the newsletter, so that was emailed home to all the families, put on the 712 PTO page. And then we kind of stole this idea from another local school, but they made a really nice flyer that they sent out and kind of posted all over the place. So we're in the process of making one of those as well.
I guess I'm going to ask the hard question. What would the recommendation be to parents in an emergency situation?
Sure. So that is all discussed on the website for the Department of Education and Workforce. So one thing I would like to point out, and it states in here too, is that cell phones and social media can be used to spread threats and coordinate acts of violence. And that was true for us last year at Madison Plains. Yes, we all want to be able to get a hold of our kids. I totally get that. But at the same time, we're not always using it for the best reasons. But they have it in here. They talk about what is that going to look like? How do you get family buy-in when people want to be able to get a hold of their children? However, we have to think about, the community and the school as a whole as well. So, if the teacher is trying to give directions on what to do, what's the safest thing to do at that time, and kids are all on their phones, they're not listening to directions. At one point, we closed down Linson Road last year. You can't really close down the road to block people from coming in if parents are then trying to come in and get their children at the same time. So, those are other things I think that we have to consider.
I think certainly though, Mr. Stumrock, if parents need to get a hold of their children, they certainly are welcome to call the school office and ask the secretary to get a message to their child.
Yeah, and we will still, if students need to call home and get a hold of someone, they are welcome to come to the office and just say, I need to call my parent. We have several students that do that, that don't have cell phones with them every day, and so they just we have another phone in the office, and so they have free access to use that phone to get a hold of guardians.
I think the other thing that is worth noting here, our students at the K-6 level, they do not have locks on lockers. And so our K-6 building is going to have to come up with a little bit of a creative solution in terms of where students can store their cell phones during the day. So just, you know, wanted to make you aware of that as well. If there are no further questions, I just, again, thank you, Mrs. Sparks. I do appreciate your time and effort here this evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
The only other discussion item that I have, the tolls report is attached. Dr. Hoadley sent that over and through Mrs. Zanikas, and that is on your agenda this evening as well.
All right, we'll move to section L, policy and governance.
And just one item in the policy and governance section. We are required by law to approve bus stops before the start of every school year or within 10 days of the school year starting. And so you have the list of bus stops before you this evening.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance item L2.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Shonrock?
Yes.
Mr. Berry?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
And Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Move to section M, business.
Forgive me, I'm still writing. A number of business items before the board this evening, requesting that the board would approve the minimum qualifications for our non-bachelor substitute teachers. The state has allowed this on a temporary basis in years past. Last year, the state put into law that this could become permanent. So we have had a number of people over the years when this has been temporary that have come in and have worked for us who do not have a bachelor's degree. And they've done a great job, so we'd like to be able to make this permanent to help us increase and keep our sub pool up. We have a couple, an MOA there, one that is being updated due to a little bit of a hiccup with verifying experience. And then there is an MOA for a new teacher that we are hiring as well. And then we have a resolution. It's not part of the consent. We thought it would be wise for us to vote on that separately, but there is a resolution here for the OFCC and their updated NOCA package for us. So, but we'll take care of the consent items first.
Mr. President, upon recommendation of the superintendent, I move that the board approve business items M2 through M4.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Shonrock?
Yes.
Mr. Berry?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
And then the final item here in the business section this evening, we have the resolution, as I mentioned, from the OFCC regarding the new NOCA package. NOCA stands for Notice of Conditional Approval. If you would like, I will try to read through the entire resolution. I don't know that it's necessary, but if you'd like, I can.
If it's not required, I'm fine with you not.
Yeah, it's you're fine. It's just accepting that NOCA package from the state. So,
does anyone have any questions about what's in it?
No.
Right.
And it will be on the website on the as part of the agenda too. So,
it just in brief summary, it is from the OFCC notifying us that our updated project is approved. That's the long and short of it.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following school district board resolution. Resolution accepting the Ohio Facilities Construction Commission establishment of the new scope, estimated basic project cost, and local share in the exceptional needs program.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Move to Section N, Personnel.
And a number of different resolutions for you this evening, a number of employments, unfortunately, a resignation there as well, but one correction due to the hiccup, as I said, with verifying experience for somebody. But beyond that, we have a number of supplementals that are before the board, and then there is one item. We have a board member who is volunteering to coach. That part of the personnel agenda is up for a separate vote, but everything else we are doing through consent.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items N2 through N12.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
And then the final personnel item is, I believe, N13. It is on page 9 of 11. The motion is at the top of the page.
Mr. President, I move.
Actually, I take that back. It's not. I'm sorry. My apologies. I messed up. It's at the bottom.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve Sean Mead to serve as a volunteer 8th grade assistant football coach for the 2024-2025 school year.
Second.
Discussion?
I just want to add one thing. We do have volunteers that receive a volunteer rate of pay. This is not the case for Mr. Mead. It's no compensation whatsoever because, as a board member, he knows he's not allowed to receive compensation as a coach. So I appreciate him doing that, but unfortunately we can't pay for it.
Yeah, appreciate you coaching.
Charlie.
All right. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
I would recommend you abstain.
I abstain.
And Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0.
All right, so move to Section O, Donations.
And we have a number of donations for the board this evening and would like to thank everybody who has made a donation. We have a donation of backpacks coming from Cypress Church in London. Those backpacks have school supplies in them, so we are grateful for that donation. We have a donation from the class of 2024 to the class of 2025, so transferring some leftover funds there. And then we have a donation. The following people have made donations to the Madison Plains FFA in the memory of Jeff Valerie. And those folks are Valerie Dorn Insurance, Julia and Gregory Daniels, and Sunrise Co-op. We want to thank all of them for their donation. And then the following people have made donations to the MPFFA in the memory of Harold Jake Jacobs, and that is Dennis and Joy Clarity. And would like to thank them for their donation as well.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations.
Second.
Discussion? I'm going to abstain. I'm related to Dennis and Joy Clarity. I appreciate them donating, but just out of abundance of caution, I'll abstain. All right. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Abstain.
Motion carries 3-0.
All right. We have any new business? Section P? The second public communication section, Section Q. Do we have anyone signed up for that? All right, so we'll move to Section R, Executive Session. I move that we enter into executive session at 7:39 p.m. for the purpose of the following items allowed under Ohio Revised Code, Section 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the employment of a public employee employees and to consider the compensation of a public employee.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.